Let's return to Jude this morning. If you're my family and you're watching at home, and I hope you are, it's the second last book of the Bible. It's right close to the end. Jude. We'll read the entire book. And our text this morning is verses 24 and 25. Verses 24 and 25, but let's begin at verse 1. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them. For they walked in the way of Cain, and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn twice dead uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It was also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of all their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against them." These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last days, the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Wonderful, wonderful ending, brothers and sisters, to this book. It's the word of the Lord, and may he bless us by it. The book doesn't end with a benediction like most letters, but with a doxology. And what a good concluding note in this clarion call to fight the good fight of the faith as Christian soldiers. It's a call, remember, to fight the false teachers and their errors. They are antinomian. They are ungodly. They're anti-authoritarian. They're perverting the grace of God and using it as an excuse to live against the God of grace. They really have gone for another God. A God who changes with the times, who changes truth. His word is not steady for them and unchanging. Who changes morals, much like so many professing Christians in our day. Rather than fighting the false teachers, are moving, swerving from the one true God and going for a God whose morals are changing, whose truth is changing, whose character is changing, and they imagine they still have him, but they don't. Fight the false teachers and their errors. It's a call also to keep yourselves in the most holy faith, to keep yourself in God's love by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Spirit, by waiting eagerly for the mercy of Jesus Christ to bring you to the end. And it's a call to reach out and to others and protect their faith also, to other brothers and sisters, by showing them mercy if they're confused by error, snatching them from the fire if they're being convinced by error, and with fear, grabbing hold of them if they become committed to error, to rescue them yet. Well, who's able to do all this, to live this life of the Christian soldier? If we don't, we're not going to make it to the end. We're going to fall away like Israel in the wilderness, who did people that did not truly believe. If I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. Who's able to do all this in the face of all the temptations and pressures and assaults and deceptions? How can we stand? We can't. We're too weak. We're too vulnerable, too prone to wander, to stand firm. How can we hold on? We can't. Unless, and that's the unless found in the doxology. It's found in the beginning too. It's the bookends of Jude. Unless God keeps us. To those called, loved by God the Father, kept by Jesus Christ. That's how it begins. And it ends that way. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. We can't make it to the end unless God holds on to us. And he will. He will. And that's the last way of contending for the faith. Rejoicing in his protective, preserving love, which keeps us to the end. Now, I've noticed here in this true security for Christian soldiers, 3 points. It's a security in God's powerful love and God's reigning Son and for God's eternal glory. But instead of following those three, which still it's in that sequence, I want to build up or show how this doxology builds up in 8 successive statements. So let's go through 8 successive statements in this doxology as it piles up towards God's glory. That's the essence of this doxology. To God be the glory. To God be the glory, majesty, dominion, and authority forever. Well, let's take it one phrase at a time. First, to God or to him who is able. Let's start there. Verse 24, to him who is able. Able. He has the power. He has all the power you need, Christian soldier, to supply you for your fight, to fight the good fight of faith, you with your family. A Christian is strong only when he's weak. When we know we're weak in ourselves, that's when we run to the strong God for help. That's when we're strong. When we feel strong in ourselves, that's when we're weak and we're especially in trouble. When I'm weak, says Paul, then I'm strong. That's when God comes along and says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. We can never survive to the end if we put our confidence in ourselves. Jude wants a Christian soldier to find his strength in him who is able, God. Remember that from Corinthians, let him who stands take heed lest he fall. And we say, yeah, I know that. You know what? Let him who stands take heed lest he fall. I still tend to view you as the weak person who's more ready to fall than me, the stronger person. And that's what I need to get rid of. We're all weak. We all need help. We all need to sing this doxology to him who is able. And it reminds us of the end of Ephesians 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly above all that we could ask or imagine, according to the power at work within us. And Philippians 4, I can do all things through him, Christ, who gives me strength, to him who is able. It's a call to faith. To him, not to him who is able. To him who is able. Second, to him who is able to keep you from falling. To keep you from falling. He is able to do what? Well, he's able to do anything because nothing's too hard for the Lord. But the focus here is able to keep you from falling into the error of false teachers, which will lead you to destruction. Able to keep you from stumbling. Doesn't mean that we'll never fall into sin. But we won't fall away completely from the way that leads to death or from the way that leads to life and into the way that leads to death. We won't fall away from our salvation. Him who's able to keep you from stumbling, from falling. Your path to heaven is dangerous, brothers and sisters. It's lined with stumbling blocks, filled with temptations, with sins and iniquities, lined with Satan, lined with devils and demons clawing, gnawing at us, holding out sweet lies. If you come this way, life will be better. You'll have more power. But in another sense, the pathway to heaven is absolutely safe because we're being guarded. That's what the word keep means. We're being guarded from stumbling because he's able to guard me. I who am ignorant and disobedient and selfish and rebellious. But it doesn't rest on my power to outfox the devil or overpower my own flesh. I rest in his power to guard me. I pray for that power. I seek that power. Now, it leaves me with a nagging question to him who is able to keep you from stumbling. Okay, he's able, but is he willing? He can, but will he? And the point of Jude is, he will, you can assume that, because you're a believer and you trust in him, and he'll never let you go. He will, but he also can. That's Jude's point, not to make you doubt whether he will, he can, but will he? But he will, and he can. Exactly what Jesus said in John 8, he put will and can together. I know my sheep, I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of his hand. will and can come together. He can and he will. He will because he can. He's able. Able to keep you, to guard you from stumbling. You don't want to leave that kind of a God for a false God, the God of the heretics, do you? Their God who can't keep you? Go for the true God who can and does keep all who trust in him. No matter how weak and vulnerable, how temptable you are, you're safe in his hand. You are safe, eternally safe. It's in you to stumble, in me to stumble, but not in him to let you stumble. Trust him. Trust him. 3, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless. I love that. There's the negative side. He guards you from something negative, stumbling. Now he flips it around and gives the positive side. And able and willing to cause you to stand. That's what present means. Cause you to stand blameless. He's not going to just barely drag you through a knothole into the kingdom. You're not going to just arrive barely alive, but standing tall. That's the point. Firm and blameless. Not just blameless in justification, that righteousness credited to you through faith in Jesus Christ, but blameless in sanctification, without a stain of sin in your mind, heart, soul, and body. That's how you're going to end the trip. Perfect, like Jesus, without any temptation left in your system, any wrong feelings, wrong thoughts, wrong desires, wrong words, wrong actions, but holy in every part of your life. That's what he's able to do, and that's what he's going to do. Guard you from stumbling, cause you to stand faultless at the end. Wow, that's where it's going to end. It's unimaginable because we have to struggle so much with sin. And the further we get down the road, the more glaring our sin becomes. And sometimes the more we feel we're falling behind, but God is taking you forward. You see that? He's taking you forward. Trust him. Rest in him as you fight your sin and you fight heresies. You fight Satan. 4. Oh, just wait one moment. Him who's able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless. I've got to bring out here Ephesians 5. This is what Jesus promised about his bride. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present, there's that same word again, he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's God's plan. That's God's power. That's what Jesus has sealed with his blood. That's what's going to happen. It's going to happen. 4, to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless. And now we catapult further, infinitely further. Blameless before the presence of his glory. Like even the angels, the holy angels, cover their faces and their feet in the presence of God's infinite, awesome glory. It is a fearful thing to stand before the living God. He is a consuming fire. But God's grace and God's power are such that everyone who believes in him is going to stand faultless right in his presence, face to face with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. says unimaginably spectacular. It doesn't get higher than this. It doesn't get better than this. In the presence of his glory, I'm reminded of the parable in Matthew 13. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. 2 Corinthians 4, this light and momentary affliction is preparing for us what? An eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. Number 5, now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great fright. Didn't say that, did it? What was the word? With great joy. Instead of fear and trauma and panic and fainting, in the presence of his awesome glory, when he finally brings us to that finish line, we'll be overwhelmed with joy. That joy spoken of Psalm 16, which Jesus himself entered. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there's fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. With great joy is a word used sometimes in the Bible for the exaltation of being at the eternal feast. That kind of joy. Holy party kind of joy. Wow. With great joy. What a God. Him who's able to get you there. Number 6. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we get to the object of the doxology. It's not finally about me being preserved from following, me being presented, me having great joy. Finally, it's all about God getting the glory and being recognized as the one with glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. To the only God. We're reading through Ezekiel at home right now, and Ezekiel keeps raising that point, or God does. It's not for your sake that I'm going to take the crud off you, Israel, and save you and clean you and make you perfect. It's for the sake of my name. It's for the sake of my glory and honor. God is doing this to us for his glory. And we rejoice in him, not so much in what he's going to do for us, but in who he is. Not in what we're getting, but who we get. Whom is our God? He's the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the point is that all the blessings that you find in verse 24, kept from stumbling, Jesus never stumbled in his life on earth. Being presented faultless, Jesus was morally pure, the unblemished Lamb of God, offered on the cross for our salvation, presented before the glorious throne. Jesus ascended into heaven, and he's at the right hand of God, right in his holy presence, and he's there with great joy too. Who for the joy set before him despised the cross, enduring its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. That's the joy he's in. And the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, is giving this to you. It's all in Jesus. He came for this. He earned this for you at the cross. He rose to share it with you. He ascended to bring you into that. Just as sure as he's there in that right now through him, so surely will you enter that glory through Jesus Christ. And number 7, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. That's what it's all about. How did I get saved? by his glory, majesty, authority, and dominion. How am I sanctified? By his glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. How am I preserved to the end? By his glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. How am I presented faultless and glorified? How am I brought safely into his heavenly kingdom? By his glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. All glory be to God. Not to me. Not for any choice I made. Not for a cooperative venture between God and me. He did his part, I did mine. Oh no. If any part of my salvation is left to me, if any glory is left to me, that's where I will perish. That's where I'll slip through the cracks and enter hell forever. It's all him. Think of Romans 8. You have the list of 7. And then you have the list of 10. You get assaulted by tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. How do you survive that? We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. God's glory, majesty, dominion, and authority cause you to conquer those. And then what about the list of 10 and 38 and 39? I am sure that neither death nor life, angels nor rulers, things present nor things to come, powers, height, depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able. None of those things that come against you, that are assaulting you right now and threatening to take you down. You feel the devil coming at you? You feel your sinful flesh pulling you away? None of that is able because God is able. None of that is able to separate you from God's love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The whole business is the business of his glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. Nothing in this world is able to wreak havoc with your salvation because he is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with great joy for his glory. And that's where it ends. Number 8 of this statement, to him, the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now, and forever. His love for me started before time began. He chose me before the foundation of the world in love. He predestined me for adoption through his Son, Jesus Christ. It started with him. With his glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. And it continues with him now. It's all in him. And forever, it'll be all to his glory, majesty, dominion, and authority. And that is the security of the Christian soldier. That's what encourages you and me to fight against the evil one and fight hard. If we don't fight, we won't win. We'll fall. You will. Forever. If you don't fight that false doctrine, that saying, go after this God, and you follow, you're leaving the God who's able to keep you from stumbling. If you go for the God whose character changes, whose word changes, whose morality changes, whose truth changes, a false God of a false teachers. That God cannot save you. You're not safe in his hand. This God, the God of the Bible, he keeps Christian soldiers safe to the end. He guarantees you your salvation. We cannot run the race, says Hebrews. We got to run the race. It's the only way to get there. Got to fight the good fight of faith. It's the only way to lay hold on eternal life. But we cannot run the race unless We fix our eyes on Jesus and look to him who is the what? Author and finisher, perfecter of our faith. It's all in him. And that gives you courage and confidence. If we don't have him to hang on to, him to rest in, and him to rejoice in, we'll become depressed, discouraged, despondent, and despairing Christian soldiers thinking, I can't make it. And that's why Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Because when you rejoice in the Lord, you're being brought back to him who's able. You're being encouraged by focusing on him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with great joy. You're being brought to the throne of the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is your God. Trust him. Don't wander from him. Don't choose another God. Another God might look really appealing to you right now. It'll make you more acceptable in the eyes of the world. That God of tolerance, of moral relativism, that God of health and wealth now, the God who does our bidding, the one we control, that one, that false one. Oh, there's an appeal in that. Well, there's no truth. There's no power. There's no salvation in that. So, beloved, contend for the faith by resting and rejoicing in this God who saved you from eternity and in time through faith, and who keeps you and will keep you to the end. Amen.